Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Nan Hayworth, so, first of all, thanks for doing this with us. We always love it when you're with us, number one. Number two, there was just a thing in the Washington Post about Speaker Boehner and whether or not he will succeed himself, you know, as Speaker, whether he would be reelected. What would you do?
My goal right now, Alan, is to make sure that I can be representing our Hudson Valley the next time a vote for Speaker is taken. I don't know who's going to be eligible for that role when next that vote is taken. I certainly hope it will be a responsible, fiscally conservative leader. Presumably that's going to be someone on the Republican side. And I hope to have the privilege to take that vote. We'll know at the time.
Is there anybody who appeals to you other than Boehner for that, Paul Ryan, for example, something like that?
You know, Alan, we have a lot of folks with good minds and good hearts who have made clear their goal and their mission to relieve the unconscionable burdens that Washington is placing on our citizens, on the middle class, on everybody who works, on everybody who needs the federal government to work right, and on our kids. You know, that's pretty much every American. So I have heard great ideas from a lot of good men and women, any of whom could become Speaker of the House.
So is there a movement that you're aware of? This is, I guess, a very important question. Is there a movement that you're aware of that's going on to replace Boehner?
The more important question, really, Alan.
Yeah, but that's my question.
but I can't. And truthfully, I can't answer that for you, Alan. I consider it far more important because you know the composition of any given leadership of the House of Representatives changes every 2 years. So the much more pressing question is, let's make sure that we have representatives there who will be voices and advocates for our people.
Okay, one more try, Nan.
Yeah.
Are you getting telephone calls saying, okay, if you win, will you vote for this guy or that guy?
I'm not. No.
Okay. All right.
No,
that's a good answer. Okay. So I'm going to sort of go down a list of top things that I think affect the people in your district, and you'll tell me, you know, take a couple of minutes on each of them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There was a huge flap when the Republicans came in about changing Social Security, whether or not there ought to be, a privatization of Social Security. People were all over the place on it. Where are you now?
Well, the key thing is no. There is tremendous respect and reliance on Social Security. We have to protect it, secure it for the future. People need and expect those benefits. The idea of privatizing them is not something that we need to be looking at now. But we do need to think all of us about how we make sure that we can keep Social Security sound and solvent for all the decades to come.
Well, what about the privatization effort, which was really quite remarkable in the beginning when the Republicans took over? Is that something you think is off the table, allowing people to invest their own money rather than have Social Security the way we now see it?
It's not something that's on the table for me. I want to make sure that folks who are relying on Social Security get their Social Security. I want to make sure that people who are working so very hard right now and paying their payroll taxes actually have as much left over as possible in their paychecks so that they can have their own savings. But that's outside of the Social Security system. Social Security needs to be Social Security the way people know and understand it for the foreseeable future, to be sure.
Has your thinking on this evolved or what?
My thinking has always been the same, that people, that every American who is working and getting a paycheck and putting away his or her payroll taxes should be able to rely on the benefits that those payroll taxes are being stored away for the future. So those funds need to be respected, need to be protected. And we want to make sure that everybody who's working so very hard in a very tough economy, especially in our Hudson Valley, can have enough left over in their paycheck that they can put away for that rainy day. But that's completely outside of the Social Security issue. That's an issue of you know, how we give people back the power to manage their lives. The cost of the Affordable Care Act alone in people's lives. I just talked with a friend of mine whose insurance premiums are going up 70%, and this is not someone who is, some kind of mogul of some sort and can just shrug that off. That affects his ability to put away for the future for his family. That's something I can help with today, and that's something that I want to be able to do.
Okay.
And I want that friend to be able to rely on Social Security. Not worry about that program changing, but be able to keep more of what he's working for today so that he can do the right thing with that.
Should Congress formally change its mind on the Defense of Marriage Act, gay marriage?
Federal government,
yes,
should respect the states. There are, as we all know, there are constitutional issues in terms of how states have sovereign power to create those definitions. And I think the federal government should respect what the states determine in that regard.
Do you think marriages should be between just a man and a woman?
I live in the state of New York, as you know, Alan, and I respect the laws in my state, which have opened up that definition. And I think the federal government has to respect that. And I'm not going to go to Washington to change that crucial relationship between the federal government and the state having that sovereign power.
Okay, but not to push you too much, but is that your personal belief?
Well, my personal belief on any of these topics that are so important, Alan, is that, we have to work within, we have an extraordinary design of government that we have to respect. And so, whatever a lawmaker's beliefs are, they have to conform to what the Constitution tells us. And the Constitution tells us that the federal government should respect the states. And in my home state, marriage is openly defined.
So,
and I respect that.
Okay. So,
and that's, as a lawmaker, that's what I should do.
Okay. Let me ask you, are you doing a lot of fundraising? In other words, your opponent will have a lot of money, you're going to have money. How do you raise all that money?
Well, talk with friends of like mind and encourage them to support the cause that we share. We have a great and wonderful thing that we're trying to do here in the Hudson Valley, Alan, and that is increase the freedom and the power of our citizens here to make the right choices in their own lives, to make the federal government responsible and responsive and restrained and respectful, so that it can fulfill the incredible obligations that it has, and not fail. And when I have so many friends who have responded with great enthusiasm to that message and that mission. So it's been a very gratifying response.
Nan Hayworth, always wonderful to have you with us. When we come back the next time, I want to ask you about immigration. I want to ask you about fracking and the Tea Party, okay?
Sure.